All right, we are at episode 4. I just want to start off by saying everyone who has mentioned to me that they're listening to the show, it really makes me incredibly happy. And I really hope in some way it's helping you grow or look at the world with new perspectives. So before I even released the first episode, I had many moments where I was going to completely quit and not release anything. Even though I had planned everything out and had several recordings done, just because I didn't think I could manage it. But I continued because I knew it would have an impact on people and it would grow into something much bigger than myself. And that's why when anyone mentions that they're listening, it really motivates me to keep pushing. So thank you so much. Real quick before we start, if you're listening, please screenshot and tag us on Insta Story. I always want to know who's listening, and it really does help us to grow. Thank you. Let's get into it. I'm super excited. Hopefully everything is all good now. I'm like not gonna make
Yes,
any stuff ups.
it's gonna be the best one yet.
The best one. Let's just go like the quick rundown of where you were born, where you've come from, up to now. Just the whole 2 minute origin story.
So I was born in Sydney, Australia. My mum is Australian, my dad's originally from Tonga. I grew up out west in Busby, in Liverpool. And then going to high school, I went to a selective school for sports and there was a dance program. And then after that, I was kind of like, oh, don't know if I want to go to uni just because everyone else is going to uni and there's a bit of pressure there. So then I went to Evanbo full time, and did a year course there. And then since then, I've just been like doing stuff.
Yeah, just working as a dancer,
Yeah,
really. Yeah,
working as a
dancer choreographer.
dancer and a choreographer in the past, more so a choreographer in the past 2 to 3 years.
Okay, awesome, cool. All right, maybe let's just get into growing up. Let's go you as a child. Like, what type of things were you into, like, growing up?
So as a young child, apparently I was just super active. My mum like thinks I was the cutest kid in the world, so I don't know. I like we were put into a lot of things as kids, just always for fun. Nothing was ever serious. So as young kids, like we'd be climbing everywhere. I think like you would have saw in my home videos, we would like climb up and down slides and like over the neighbor's fence, apparently when we'd like we were 4 years old, which is a bit dangerous. Yeah, it's just funny because I was talking about it with my mom the other day. She was like, you guys, like I'd go inside for 1 second to like put the washing basket down and then come back and be like, where'd they go? And I'd be like over the fence. But yeah, and then as I got older, I picked up soccer, basketball. I remember there was 1 year in school where I was in the choir, in the aerobics team, in the selective soccer team, and then I did basketball as well, and softball, and then I did athletics on the outside.
Damn, okay.
Yeah, so I was like doing a lot. And so my mom was awesome like that. She was always like wanting us to do heaps of stuff and stay active. But yeah, I have this one specific memory of like when my mom got a flip phone for the first time because for some reason she didn't have a mobile phone for ages. I think it was like a generational thing. And I would always steal it away and like take videos of my brother dancing on it. He'd
Oh,
do
damn.
like silly dances and I'd try and edit it. So I'd do 3 seconds of him dancing in the backyard. And then I'd be like, okay, bro, let's go into the kitchen and then do 3 seconds in the kitchen. And it would just make a 20-second video, but I showed my mom, like, and it would cut across and I would try and get the same part of the song. And this was probably when I was about like 10 or 11.
That's so
So,
interesting.
yeah, so I've always had a passion for, like, I don't know, first of all, dancing, but like capturing something. I guess, and creating, like creating something for fun.
Yeah.
And we used to, oh my gosh, there was this one video, and we all remember it. It was me, and I have a younger brother and a sister. The three of us are quite close in age and in friendship. And so we reenacted this toilet paper commercial once.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember, but I think it was like clean. I don't know what the brand was. I won't say any brands, but just for copyright. Yeah. But yeah, there was this toilet paper commercial where it was like, are you a folder or a scruncher?
Yeah.
And then so I got my brother to film me, and I was like, I'm a folder. And then my brother did it, and then we like panned up to my sister, and she was like, I'm a scruncher. That's so random, but that's anyway. Okay. But just creating like things for fun. Yeah.
That's so good. Oh God, I love it.
Yeah.
That's so crazy. But I love that yeah, you were creating like that since you were a child.
Yeah.
Is there, I'm just going to go into like, was there any other like interesting things you were creating? Because obviously like phone and this and that, but like, were you like into like drawing or like other sort of creative things? Or?
No, I'm terrible at drawing. I'm absolutely horrible. But yeah, I used to do a lot of things with my hands, like, and, but that was just a thing when you're a kid, like, finger knitting, and you used to make these like bracelets.
Okay.
So I used to rock up to school with bracelets like almost up to my elbow, like just from doing this finger knitting thing. And I used to make them for my friends because I got really good at it. So yeah, just because I loved doing it so much. Yeah, it's kind of dorky now that I think about it, but
that's so cool.
I loved it. Yeah.
So you were like into like sports and stuff, but also creating.
Yeah, see, creating I never saw as like a thing. It was just because it's non-competitive as well. So you just do it. You just go home and do it. Like when I finished my homework, I'm talking like primary school days.
Yeah.
I'd go home and just like finger knit and film toilet paper videos. Gosh, what am I? And then we'd do like little athletics every Friday. I'd do soccer a few nights a week. Yeah, and I didn't start dancing until like I was 10 or 11. And even that was like just one night of dancing a week. So it was just like, yeah, it's all super chill at that age, where I know it's like a bit different now for if you're dancing when you're 10, it's like already
a little bit older.
Some people like sussing out what the career is. But for me, it was just like tap and jazz. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. How do I say this? Growing up, like in school, were you into school more than like the creating, or were you just kind of like in school and then like going outside, going like into the sports and creating? Was that like the fun bit in school? Was just like whatever?
Yeah. So, I definitely loved school as a kid. I don't know. I had lots of friends. I was thriving a lot in all the sports. So like athletics, carnival, swimming, carnival, those were my jams as a kid. Not so much in high school, but yeah, I do remember when we did Junior Rock of Stedford, and this was before I started dancing properly. And I remember I was talking to my mum about this the other day, actually, because she sewed all the costumes for the Rock of Stedford. Like, she was the mum, not a dance mum, but she was just always like helping out around the school. And we did this story. It was, what was it? The Paper Bag Princess.
Okay.
And I remember they chose me as the Paper Bag Princess. So the storyline basically goes, I'm in a paper bag. I come from nothing.
Yeah.
She's out there. She's doing her thing in this paper bag. And then I think a prince comes along and then she becomes a princess. That is definitely not the storyline. But I just remember in the end, I think she doesn't need a man or something. Or maybe that was our take on it. But I was like the main character. So it was like not forced to perform. But I remember thinking at the time, like, gosh, I'm in year four. Like, why didn't they choose a girl in year six? And my mom was like, because you're really good. And I was like, I just remember thinking like, I'm just so confused when they announced it.
Yeah.
And And then I remember getting heaps of compliments after, but I didn't even think about the performing side. I was nervous, but I wasn't like, oh, I have to do this. I don't remember like practicing side stage and being like, oh, I have to get this right. I was just like, okay, we're just gonna like
do the princess
dance thing now. Yeah. And then later on when I did pick up dancing in like year 5 and 6, I was helping out a lot choreographing for like school productions. So like our year 6 farewell dance. Yeah, for year 6 farewell, me and a bunch of other dancers choreographed for that. So it was like involved in school and stuff.
Yeah.
I think my primary school definitely allowed me to like have a creative outlet quite a bit. Yeah.
Dope. Let's go into like family life and how were they growing up? Like, were you good with your parents? And
Yeah, they were awesome. Yeah, mom and dad were really awesome. My dad is... he's a quiet guy and he's probably the most lovely, patient man I've ever met. And my mom, she is a tough, stern woman. Mm. Like, you'll meet her and she's not. I always used to wonder, like, why isn't my mom like the moms on TV? You know, like, oh, hi. And don't get me wrong, she's an amazing, incredible woman, but she's tough and she's real. And I have this memory of her as well. Like when I was young, and I was saying like, oh my God, that mom is so nice. Like, she's so nice. And my mom was like, no, but did you hear what she was saying when she was away from the other people? She's like, that's fake. And I was like,
oh shit,
what's fake? Yeah, she dropped bombs on me when I was like 9 years old. I was like, I couldn't handle it. I didn't understand. I didn't understand at the time either. I was like, what's fake? Like, I've never heard it in the context of people. I just knew the definition of it, like fake.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, she goes, nah, she's fake. Like, you're like, you listen. And I remember her saying to me, she's like, listen to what people say when they're away from other people. Like, don't always trust, like, some of those people that look super, super nice to you, to your face, aren't like that when they're away from you. And I was like this little kid, like, fake. So she's super real in that way. And as a mother, I guess always brings me back down to earth. Every time I go home to her, you know, she'll ask me about my dancing and I'll be like, oh, I traveled here, I did this, I went there, blah, blah, blah. And then we'll talk and it's just really like grounding every time I speak to her, which is amazing and uplifting at the same time. But they were always supportive of everything I did growing up. I mean, we definitely were not a well-off family whatsoever. And I think they really taught me how to value money, and they were always honest and open about when we didn't have the most money or when we couldn't do something, why we couldn't afford it, you know, and why it's so important to be grateful for everything that we are doing. Because they did put us in a lot and we did do a lot, but if we were like, oh, you know, like, can we have a guitar? We're like, well, do you have this much money for a guitar? Who's going to buy the guitar?
Yeah.
You have to earn it. And my dad's like number one slogan that my brother and always say in his voice, he's always like, sweetie, you have to earn it. Like, he always says it in that voice.
Yeah.
And we're like, yeah, you're right. Yeah. We can't just have anything for the sake of just having it. So they were awesome all throughout childhood. And then when I got to high school and I started doing this dance thing more and more, I think they always saw it. Like every other parent probably of that generation from a non-arts background was just like, okay, dancing is cool. What do you want to do?
Yeah.
And I feel like so many people can relate to that, especially, I mean, maybe this generation is different. I feel like, I don't know.
It's weird because I wouldn't know really like how this generation's like dealing with those type of parents now.
Yeah.
But for us, like, I don't know. It's just, again. Like, dance, but like, what else?
Yeah, but what else? Yeah, as if it's not sufficient enough. Yeah. Which, you know, still to this day, I'm trying to prove that it can be as sufficient, if not more, than some of the jobs that they compare it to, like being a teacher or being something. You know, it's a weird thing. Like, I think the heart in my mum really, really wants me and always wanted me to do this. And see, my dad, he would always just kind of side. He'd always put his hand on my shoulder, but always side with my mum just because of what she would say. And her heart wanted me to do what I wanted to do, but her mind just completely overruled all of that.
Yeah.
And there was a specific point when I was, when I just turned 18 and I was finishing high school, and I actually had fully enrolled into like a university and was going to do a degree in social science at the specific university, like, and it was January. So I finished high school, was the January out of school. And that's when I was like, nah, I just know, like this intuition thing, my mom's voice in my head is strong, but my intuition at that point was much stronger. And I'm so thankful for that moment, because I actually, I remember I was out front in my back, in my front yard on some stairs, like on the phone, kind of speaking really quietly to the director of Evanbow, which is Sarah Bolter. And I asked her, hey, I know I declined the spot on the form to go to full time, but is there any chance possible the spot's still there? And she was so lovely. And as soon as she spoke and she was like, of course, blah, 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 I just felt like this weight lift off my shoulders. And then I remember I walked inside, my mom was like, who was that? And I just told her, and I told her what I did, and she just shook her head and was like, you don't know what you're doing. Like, you're so young, you don't know what you're doing. And I was like, mom, I feel what I'm doing is right. And it is hard, you know, because like, as an 18-year-old, like you see other 18-year-olds making decisions, and you can always put your perspective on something, but you never know how someone actually feels inside and what they need to do for themselves in that time. So that was, I guess, the only struggle with my parents around from the age of 18 to 22 even, which is like not that long ago. Other than that, now they're super amazing, and my brother and sister are super, have always been super amazing with my dancing.
Amazing. That's crazy. I don't know. I think that's like an intense thing to kind of like, again, I was talking to Amy about like just talking to your parents and just like how important it is. Did you like, what was the conversation after her like shaking her head and this and that? Like what? Like how did you deal with that situation moving forward? Did you think about like, I'm just like, did you keep talking to your mom about it, or did you just like, I'm gonna prove it and like just like not talk to her? Like what was it?
I mean, it was really hard. It was a really, being in full time that year, first of all, is the most like physically taxing year, as well as mentally taxing year, because you're constantly training yourself, and you're training and you're wondering how you can get better, and you're wondering what's going to happen after this and blah, blah, blah. And then to go home and just kind of, not feel any sense of moral support. If anything, there was, because my mom, she is so stern, she would continuously question and question. And so the angst in me for some parts of it just did want to ignore her, and just like, I'd never been like a rotten teenage child, but it was actually at 18 that we had that like beef between us.
I love it.
Was a lot. And then I don't know, it was just throughout the year, like you have to meet halfway with your parents. And when I say parents, we're not meeting halfway with people, we're actually meeting halfway with a whole generation of societal expectations that have been inbuilt in them from birth. And so maybe even my mom putting me into dancing and putting me into a high school that does dancing is going against everything she knew, and that's her effort. So when I'm going and I'm feel, and she probably at the time felt like I was just like throwing that away, throwing away her effort. If anything, I'm trying to put in more effort to meet her halfway. So it's just like we both had to strengthen ourselves, I guess, to like push further to meet halfway. And it, like I said, it's only been recent, but it's been after a lot of, I guess, proving myself. My mom's main worry was like financially. She's like, what happens when you get old and you break your body? And I'm continuously trying to explain to her all the different avenues that I can take. And also the fact that this generation is just so, like, we can have multiple careers. We have the resources to be able to do that. And I think that is going to lead to happiness more than anything. Because if you look at the stereotype of someone that has been working the same job for 30 years, it's not a positive one usually, unless you've built yourself up to the top and you are the one person on top of the mountain of people. And even
then, it's like, are you really happy? Most people like get to that top, but like stress of actually managing that many people and this and that, like, it's also not like the best for most people.
Exactly.
Like, it is good for some people. Like, it really is. But I think you just gotta know what you want.
Yeah. And I feel like our parents' gen has never thought beyond that. Because
they wouldn't know really, like, what's beyond that. Yeah.
They've always valued, like, getting married, having family, buying a house, having this one job, becoming the manager, becoming the boss, becoming the CEO. And that is like, woo, don't have to think outside of that scaffold. Whereas I feel like a lot of people, mainly, like, not mainly, but especially people within the arts of this generation, are thinking from within first to go outwards. How, what makes me happy, and what, like, I guess, void do needs filling in our community so that we can grow and build this community to make it accessible to everyone.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, every time I talk to my mom, I just have to consider that she's from a long line of people and context that she is used to.
Yeah.
And then I'm coming from.
Understand. Really. Yeah. Like, not as well, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think let's just sidetrack for a second and just get into this topic, because I feel like it's something I really want to talk about more, and just like, I like to talk about it. But like, the future and like everything to do with like how we're going to live. To me, I have like a weird theory of like, back in the day, like, everyone used to work like all these office jobs, and that was like the decent salary, whether it's 50, 60,000, like whatever it is. It's the, go get an office job and that would be like good. But I feel like what's happening more and more is whatever we do creatively can actually suffice as the normal job now. Like, I literally think, like what you said, you can have multiple jobs. Like, for me, I just imagine, like, I might not be like the best videographer that makes like a bunch of like money or anything, but I'm like, I could do the same office job, or I could do the videography like business and like make the same amount. And I think the world is changing into people doing the creative things they want, but not like on a Drake level or like earning that much. But I think it's going to be the everyday, like, normal type job where you can earn normal type money and be happy, though. That's the difference.
Well, I feel like that's what having a career is something that makes you happy, but something that can sustain whatever your level of finance that you need is. For me, right now, I'm not looking to buy a house in Sydney, Australia, 100%, at all, if ever. And I'm not looking to, you know, I don't have kids. So those things shift and change. And so when I talk to people about this, that kind of look at dancing, it's like, oh, like, how do you make money? What do you do? I'm like, we actually make quite a bit of money. Like, as a freelancer, you know, if you're working a lot and if you're connected in the right way and connected to people that value your work, you're making a really good amount of money. But I feel like, with jobs that have always been kind of praised, and I just remember my mom like going, why don't you go and like become a teacher? You're so good at teaching, dance teaching. If you work for the like education system, you have a continuous payroll, you get paid holiday, like, it just makes so much sense to me. And then on the news, like, two nights later, there was a teacher's strike because they were getting cuts, funding cuts from the government. And I'm like, can you see that everything you're saying, if I'm going in for money, that is literally the most fickle thing that we have in this life, because you could plan to study and become this I don't really know what makes a lot of money.
Engineer, because like in Perth, my parents were like, my dad really was like, hey, like, you should be an engineer. And I don't know why, as a child, not a child, like teenager, I was in high school, I was like, I don't know why, I just knew this, but I was like, if everyone wants to be an engineer and every parent's telling them like what's going to happen. And I swear to God, 4 years after uni, when I would have completed my degree, there was too many engineers in Perth for like the mining boom, and it like died. And I was like, like, I was just like, I'm so glad I didn't go down that road.
Yeah, like, that was the same with my year, I think, with like physios, like physiotherapy, because it was a sports school. Everyone just found it so easy. Like, that's my backup physio. Like, there's so much money. Like, the physio at our school makes so much money. I'm like, yeah, but not if y'all are opening up like 20 physio businesses in the same year. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, why, like, why strive and strive and strive for something that you might actually fail at? And if I strive and fail at dancing, I've had a bloody amazing time, like, on the way, and I've had so many lessons learned. But yeah, I just can't imagine, like, going for something purely out of money. It just doesn't make sense to
me. Security slash money. Yeah. I definitely think it needs to play a part, but like, not the majority.
Yeah. Like, I mean, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's bring it back, because I feel like we'll get back into the topics. Yeah. But yeah, so you getting into dance, your mom being like, probably not, like, what was your mindset going to it? What were you trying to achieve when you first started out?
Going into dance. So I knew that, like, at the age of 18, I knew very well that I wasn't the most amazing dancer.
At what age, sorry?
18.
18, okay.
Yeah, when I started, it wasn't until, like, 17, 18 that I was like, I really want to dance.
Okay.
And I was already teaching dance, like, from a really young age of, like, 15.
Yeah.
It was kind of shifty, but whatever.
Yeah.
So teaching dance and making decent money at 15. And then, so I had my dance teaching experience. So I think in the back of my mind, my thing was always like, I can always just teach dance to live off. And then if this course doesn't work out, I can, I don't know, open up a dance school or something. Yeah. And that was the absolute fallback. But yeah, it was, I don't know, now that you said this, like, I don't know what I was thinking going into full time, because, like, I'm so happy I did, but I really, really was not a great dancer when I went in there. And that's not me, like, downplaying what I had. I just really genuinely, I'd done auditions for other universities before that, and I didn't get into any of them. And so when I got into this full time, it was like a beacon of hope. I was like, oh, but with my mom's voice in my head and the truth in what she was saying about needing to eventually be, I guess, stable with finance and career, I made a promise with myself that if at any point in the year or full time I didn't enjoy what I was doing, I would quit, because I actually was, I was paying for my own full time. So this is $10,000 for that year, and it's not on HEX or anything, so you have to pay it up front.
Yeah.
So that was another big factor in my mind, where I was like, if you need to stop halfway, like, save yourself the money and stop, and then just start looking for a uni course or something.
Yeah.
Like, my thing was always just about the fact that we're so young, so let's just try it. So it was a really, like,
let's just give it a go,
YOLO thing. And I never say YOLO, but I'm sure at 18 I said YOLO.
Yeah.
So yeah, I made that promise, and then after the first term, I just was like, I'm falling in love with dance more and more every day. Like, and I still am not one of the best or better people at it, but I love this so much. So having been choreographing from the age of 15 on, like, older people as well, I was teaching adults, I was teaching kids classes and adult classes, I just felt like there was always something in me that needed to be out there for other people, something not just in my room. And yeah, I don't know what gave me so much belief in myself when my mom wasn't there for me, but there was definitely, like, a stronger intuition with it. Yeah. So yeah, I think the thing that got me was just intuition. I didn't have goals set for it yet.
Yeah, that's awesome. Because I felt like I grew up the same way in terms of dance. Like, like, I had, like, random goals and this and that, but it was never like, hey, this is my goal, I'm going to do this. It was just lead on intuition and just kind of the want to do more. But like, I was never like, this is exactly what I'm, like, aiming for. Yeah. It was just like, this would be cool, this would be cool, this would be cool. But like, let's just go on intuition and work hard and just kind of see, like, where things end up. Because I really didn't know, like, yeah. what I wanted to do.
But I think no one knows, you know, like look how where you ended up and look where I'm ending up and still and we're still pushing. It's so fresh, and I feel like again with our parents, that's why they're so worried, because they don't have a tangible thing that they can hold to say, my son is this or my daughter is this. And so we are literally paving our paths as we speak, so that we can, like, there is no certificate we can hold up, like, and I think that's one thing that our parents struggle with. But for us, we just kind of have to believe in our value of knowing that yes, we're fully in on the right track, because when we do have something to hold up, it's like it just feels right.
Totally. Let's go like a little bit after into you went into full time. You completed the full year. So like you felt, or you said that you weren't that good of a dancer. Like out of it, when you finished it, like what was the drive? Like what was after?
Man, I when at the end of the year, there's like agency auditions to get an agent. And I think I did 4 or 5 in 2 weeks, and I didn't get past the first round for any of them. So it was that, like, and not saying that getting past the first round even makes you a good or a great dancer, because agents are looking for something specific.
Yeah.
And at that time, I acknowledged that I'm working on something specific for me, and it's just completely out of alignment with what they're looking for. So I was disheartened for like a really short time, but it almost fueled me to just go, you don't know what you're looking for. Like, you don't know us. You don't know where we've come from. You don't know what we're about to do. You look at us and then we get cut after this like short, stupid ass like audition thing where we're all painting our faces and dressing up and not being ourselves, like it doesn't make sense to me. And so I feel like that's been the driving force ever since I graduated full-time, is like championing the fact that you can be yourself and be a working dancer. And that's something I'm still proving, using myself as an example even now. And yeah, I for me, it's just so obvious. And I think that's because I believe in it so much. But it's just so obvious to be yourself, because your individuality makes you so unique. And I don't know. Yeah, that's just, yeah, what I've been going off.
Yeah, no, totally. What got you to that mindset? So like after the auditions and stuff?
I think it was just the auditions, like getting cut. And
Did you talk to someone, or like were you just in your room again?
I definitely had a great like friend support base of the other people in full time around me. Like I wasn't the only one that was cut. But I could definitely tell that my reaction was different from other people. Like I didn't cry about any of them. I was just like, oh, they don't want me. Like, so I kind of don't want them. And I've been going off the same, like I don't do many dance auditions because there aren't too many dance auditions around in Sydney, but I don't do many anymore. But when I do, I'm like, if they cut me, they don't want me, which means I don't really want them. Like they don't value me. So I don't want to work with them. And yeah, it was after like getting cut in all those auditions, I was like, come on. And yeah, I don't know. Like by the end of that year, I was becoming a really great dancer. And like I felt, and there was, I didn't think like that until there was this one audition. I know it seems weird to be like, oh, I thought I was a great dancer, but there was this one audition where it was for a hip hop music video or a hip hop show. So many people rocked up that hadn't barely done any hip hop before. I got cut first round. The girls that went through looked very beautiful, but were contemporary dancers. And so this is where I was like, I really feel like people don't know what they want. Like, I really feel like you guys don't know what you want, and you're just like going to a certain scaffold. So yeah, that was the pinnacle for me, where I'm like, and it was multiple things that were like auditioned as a hip hop thing. And then I come out on the other side like, damn, I've trained hard for this shit. Like I've done all my hip hop foundation classes. Like, come on, let's go. And like someone from a lyrical background gets the audition. Yeah. Like for me, if I audition for something, I don't know, like a tap dancing gig, like I can barely tap dance, right?
Yeah. But
if I come out with a boom skitty scar and they liked it, I'd just feel terrible if I got it over someone who'd been training for years. Years, and years.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's insane. I feel like that's really interesting that, yeah, like the picking certain type of people. Because for me, it's always interesting, the whole dance world, because from Perth, like, audition was never even a word for us. Like,
right.
Like there was no industry of nothing. Like, I don't think I've ever heard anyone in Perth be like, hey, I'm going to go for an audition.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, let's just get better. And, like, there was no goal. It was like,
yeah,
let's just get better.
Mm.
That's why I find it always super interesting when I, like, talk to you guys and, like, find out about auditions and how they work and this and that. Because
yeah,
it's still super new to me and I don't understand the whole, like, thing about it.
Yeah. But,
yeah, that's always, like, really interesting.
Yeah.
So once you, like, were realizing, like, okay, this wasn't for you, what was next? Like, so this is, like, 18 to 22 when, like, what made your mum start to, like, kind of accept, like, you dancing?
And yeah. I think it was time.
Yeah.
You know, and consistency on my part. After full time, I started traveling overseas to take dance camps to train, I guess, under choreographers that I'd always looked up to. And it's not much of a thing in Australia, so I had to go all the way to Europe to kind of get that. And I went to Urban Dance Camp for the first time. And my mom was just like, you just paid so much money for this course. Now you're paying for flights and for this camp. Like, how much is it? And I wouldn't tell her how much it was. Like, I think I lied to her in the end because she was like badgering me so much. She was still angry with the number. She's like, I don't get it. Like, what you're just like making all this money and then throwing it away. Cause I was making money from teaching. And so she just saw it as so foolish. And I was like, Mom, I'm building myself. Like any great career, it takes like so many years of investing, studying, practice.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when I finally booked, I don't know, when I was finally booking jobs and doing music videos, and this year I got booked to go to China, and she was like, are you flying there? And I was like, no, they're flying me. She was like, oh, where are you staying? I was like, in a hotel. And she was like, oh, are they paying for you? I was like, yes. Yeah. Like, they're going to pay me my rate. Now, how much are they paying? She was like, well, okay. Like, I'm like, see, I told you, Mom, like, go back 3 years ago. And it was all the opposite. So it's just like, she just needed to be patient with it. So definitely time. And I think the fact that I'm not an 18-year-old kid anymore, like, I'm grown and I'm making these decisions. And it's also, I think she herself needs something tangible. Like if I can send her a video, you can't just tell them like, oh, I choreographed for this artist. They'd like, first of all, my mom doesn't know anyone except like Katy Perry or anyone.
Yeah.
She'll probably listen to this and be like, ah. But as soon as I could, like, I'm like, Mom, I choreographed this music video. And she's like, wow, I'm so proud of you. Like she's really, really come around. Yeah. So it's just been time. And yeah, it's really hard not to, but just don't be the angsty teenage person where it's like, you don't know me, you don't know my life, like, get out of my room. Like, it's so hard because they are your parents. So we feel like at times, like, we can almost hate them, but that's only because we love them so much and we just want them to want for us. But it's always about meeting halfway and explaining that to them, I feel.
Yeah. Definitely. It's just crazy because we had the same like conversation with Amy and the whole parents talk, like, it's just so, so important. I think everyone needs to sit down and just talk to your parents and just be real. Like the patience of it, like,
yeah,
even for me, like, it was the same story of like, hey, I'm going to like these overseas camps and this and that, and they're like, are you getting a certificate after paying all this money? Like, what are you getting after? I'm just getting better. And they were like, what?
Yeah.
And it just didn't make sense. But again, like, me knowing, like, it's just building and it's just patience of, like, you know, getting, like, better, like, meeting people, this and that. Just, like, everything to do with the experience more than, like, a tangible thing for us. Because tangible will come second.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just, I just think everyone needs to talk to their parents.
Yeah, really, for sure. Badly. Have a genuine sit down. Like, yeah.
Yeah. If there's like, because I feel like your parents have played like pretty like good roles in your life, just as like a little side thing. Like, what kind of gems or like any sort of interesting things that you've learned from them that you've just kept?
Well, I think throughout this, that whole time in my life where I really felt like the moral support was lacking, I needed to remind myself that the reason why they were so hard on me is because that they loved me. And they, and I remember my mom saying quite a few times, she's like, when she'd like call me, like I'd get 8 missed calls and she'd be like, where are you? I'm like, mom, I told you where I was gonna be. She's like, I'm making sure that you're there. Like, you know, at least I'm not one of those moms that doesn't call you and doesn't care about where you go. So
yeah.
I fully, like, that was the patience that I needed for myself, is that reminding myself all of this was out of care and concern and love. And yeah, I already mentioned like my dad's gem, but that was, that's always, you got to earn it. Like, so I, with everything, with things that like, I'm waiting for the universe to manifest for me, I'm like, I'm going to earn it. With the person I want to become, I've got to earn it. Like, understanding that I've got to put work into everything and that everything good that comes has work from it. And sometimes it's been like some mind-blowing opportunities have come my way lately and I've just been like, what, why? And then I remember the time that I would like be practicing in my room until like 4 o'clock in the morning, or I'd remember the time when I would like trek it out. I used to trek it out to Evanbo, like on public transport, and it would take 2.5 hours to get there. Like a bus from my house, 3 trains, and then a walk to the studio. Like, I would remember that moment when I'd be walking in the rain with no umbrella and be like, okay, this is what, like, I earned this. So that plays both a part of like the before and after, like you've got to earn it and you earned this because. And I think with my mom, it's just like, she's a constant reminder. She works like a really tough laborious job. And for like an older woman, you know, I just look at her and I'm like, oh, I just get to like dance around all day. I get to choreograph. My problems are so minuscule, like compared to so many. So she's honestly just the best mom ever. And just reminding us, so there's almost too many lessons, I guess.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I think it's just about being grateful. Like, she taught us to value our money and our tangible things, but the overarching, I guess, moral was just about being grateful for what you have.
Yeah. That's awesome. What was I thinking? Struggles. Because I know you've talked about, even like when we've talked, like there's just a bunch of like struggles that you've been to, aka 2.5 hour like train rides.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of struggles did you go through with this whole journey, really? Like, I feel like it might be interesting just to kind of touch on that.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. There's a lot of things at the time I didn't see as struggles, and I look back on now, I was like, wow, I really
went through it.
Yeah. So, yeah, with like the moral support lacking, like that aside, I guess the other struggle was living out west and then always having to come into the city to get like really good quality training. At my time anyway, I think maybe things are different now. There's more resources out here out west. But yeah, at the time it was just like, oh gosh, so much traveling and so much effort. But I didn't even see it like that at the time because I think I had one or two close friends that would do it with me. And so we're like, okay, here, let's catch this bus, let's jump on this train together, let's make sure we catch this last train now. Like, so it really made me used to it. And even now I don't have a car because I'm so content with like almost zipping straight there. Feels weird.
Yeah.
It feels really weird to me. It's like there's been no journey on the way there. I don't know, struggles. Yeah. I don't know. I guess there's been like quite a few mental struggles at times. Like,
is that the thinking, I guess, biggest, like more than the physical struggle? Do you think the mental struggles are the thing that pull on you the most?
Yeah, definitely. Because it's so weird. Like, for so long, I was like, oh, how can I get there? How can I get there? I just want to get there so bad. Oh, like, thinking of all the different ways and everything I could do. And I used to just put in so much effort and always have, I would just be creating constantly, like, and wanting to do stuff. Like, I used to do these, like, little concept videos on my first one when I was 19. And I was just like, remember the night before, I just had so much creative anxiety. I was like, I just need to cancel it. Like,
yeah.
And that has been one thing for me that's been reoccurring even till now. So my creative anxiety is definitely a struggle that I'm learning to just deal with, just because I know it's never going to go away.
Mm.
And I know it's only like my mind speaking and almost like screaming at my soul, like telling me everything that is logistically and theoretically incorrect and probably not going to work out. And then my soul's just like, it's going to be fine. You know what you're doing. Listen to your intuition. You wouldn't be here if you weren't supposed to be here. You wouldn't have thought of this idea if you weren't supposed to pursue it.
Yeah.
So just like, learning how to be present and clearing all those, not clearing those negative thoughts out, but acknowledging them for what they are and then just letting them go.
Yeah. Definitely. I think so many thoughts that we have, like, just about anything really, like, from that, like, stress and anxiety, like, 90% of that is not true.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's always just, like, what if it's this? Maybe it's that. Or, like, can I do, like, it's always just not true things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I think just taking a deep breath to kind of sit yourself back and, like, take a look at the bigger picture and the wider like perspective, like you really try to understand what's true, because again, it's like I don't know, it's just not true whatever you thought of like before the shoot.
Sure.
You mean, like, is this gonna go on?
Right, and then you come out and everything's worked out fine. Like, maybe there was one or two little like glitches in the whole situation, but you're like, imagine if I actually pursued those thoughts. There was one really groundbreaking moment for me where I had, it was before my showing last year in October, which you came to, and so many incredible people were in the audience, and I was like hyperventilating, like, oh my gosh. And before I started creating that show the week before, I was just like, I was literally, I can't even explain. I'd never felt like that before, because I knew this was going to be the biggest thing I had done. So I actually took the biggest hit beforehand, because on top of like trying to pull myself out of this hole, I was like, why are you even in this hole? Like, what are you? It's like this other body was above me. Like, don't you love this? Like, be grateful. So I think it's another lesson in that is like letting yourself feel, because sometimes beating yourself down even more like makes things so much worse. So somehow with whatever strength, I think it was actually music that kind of helped me through that. Music and just like, I was waiting for this idea to come. I was like, what is it? What is it? And I started writing and I had the idea, and it also helped me to like bounce off ideas of other people. But I remember standing in front of the showing saying, like, I nearly emailed everyone saying that I just couldn't do it. Yeah. Like, people had paid money to be there. Studio Hire was booked. Things were organized. I had other people, like performers performing in the show. And I was just like, so I think that lesson in it for with me is I felt really alone in that time. So I think it's really important when I have that kind of anxiety and a big opportunity is to talk to people and like let them know how I feel and reach out, so that it's like, okay, well, I'll help, like I'll just write the program for you, or I'll help.
Just talking it out.
Have you ever had like big, I don't know, because you've done some amazing things, have you ever been like super nervous about something?
I feel like it's so weird because of like my confidence with everything, but like no matter what, like I'm just a person as well, and that like goes through my mind. So I definitely have so much like stress and anxiety for like everything I do, like every shoot I do, every podcast, like there's just a mad amount of like anxiety. But like I think I literally love, like it's weird to say, but I love to like the fail and the process of this, like I literally like, okay, so like when I started dance, if you look at my YouTube, I have the first ever video I ever did.
Yeah.
And it's because and the reason why I started this show, and I'm like, I'm so glad you asked this, because it's like, this is in me, and I get so excited when I talk about this, because it's the origin story is everything, like where you've come from and everything that leads up to where you are is so important. And I like to fail so many times and succeed so many times just to let people know that, like, this is everything. Like, it's not going to be like, try really hard and you're going to succeed. Like, that's not it. It's try really hard, fail, try really hard, succeed, try really hard, fail. Yeah. Even like when you succeed, you're going to fail again.
Yeah.
And every time I have like the anxiety and stress, like, it's there, but like, to me, there's nothing I can do about it other than push to do it. Because if I fail, like, what, like, what's the worst? Like,
yeah,
to me, I still think, even if I, it's crazy to say, but like, even if I like become homeless, it's like, what's wrong? Like, I still think I'm gonna find a way to get back up. And that's just, again, part of the story.
Yeah.
I think falling in love with your story is just better than falling in love with your success.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the idea I keep having every single time I have the stress, is like, this is just gonna be part of the story, and I'm just gonna talk to people about it eventually.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's how I help cope with it, is just remind myself that the story is more important than the
Always.
Yeah, yeah.
Incredible.
And I don't know. Yeah, I think that's why I love this whole topic so much. And I don't know why it came into me like that, like the idea, but yeah, ever since with dance, I was like, I need to show everything just so I can show other kids that, like, I wasn't good when I started.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not just like, hey, I'm just good now. And like, I want to show really bad podcasts. I really do. This is weird, but I want to show bad podcasts.
And be honest about your mistakes.
Yeah, because it's like, a podcast isn't as easy to start. Like, I'll tell you now, like, I'm really stressed at the moment. I was really stressed last night. And like, all of this is a lot for me to manage. And I don't know how I'm going to deal with it. Like, it's really stressful.
Yeah.
Aside from like the video, like, business, like me running that, so it's there, like, we all deal with stress, but
that's it.
I just really want to show that, like, it's not as easy, but just push.
And then I always remember, like, with that, like, you're in this position because you're capable. Like, you wouldn't be here if you weren't capable. And also, like, not everyone is at this point. And so what you're doing is to show the way, like, you overcoming this is like showing the way, like, yes. And you can make it that little bit easier maybe for the next person.
Yeah.
But it's also like, if podcasts were easy, like, everyone would be sitting here chilling right now.
For real.
You know, and running a film business at the same time.
Yeah.
So you're going to be one of those people that they're going to look at and go, wow, he really worked for it. He come from here. Now he's got this and this and this. So
I think that's the thing, like, you just hit it, like, it's just making it easier for the next person. I think that's what humanity is, and life in general, like, I really just think that's what we're trying to do as people, like, even you being like, hey, I'm from this place and this kind of background and this and this circumstance, and it's like, I did this, it's like, for the next person in that situation, they have no excuse.
Oh my gosh.
Like, they just, okay, like, they can do it, okay, maybe I can do it.
Yeah, for and sure. I think
that's all we can really push for, and that's what I'm like pushing for, at least with this.
Amazing.
Thank you for asking me that, because I feel like I haven't really talked about it yet too much on the podcast, so I feel like it's good to kind of have that, like, out there.
And that's incredible. Like, and that's so reassuring that you feel that way. I think one thing as well I'd love for creatives to all talk about is, like, that thing that we have, or like our struggles, whether, you know, some, because sometimes it just feels like, oh my god, that all these choreographers are so cool, they just rock up and they just do it.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm definitely not that. I'm, when I teach, I'm so honest. I'm like, guys, I feel quite nervous, or like, I'm a bit like hungry or something. Like, I don't know. I'll just always be honest, because that's all that I guess I want and need in my life, is that honesty and everything laid out on the table and keeping it real. And so you do always, I guess, put off a demeanor. Not purposely at all, but where everything is cool and calm and collected.
Yeah.
Because you are skilled and organized and on top of things, but understanding that comes from so much work and so much mental work in here for you to push that out.
Yeah.
That is incredible.
Thank you. I'm curious for you, because for me, though, I feel like that demeanor comes from, like, the confidence of, like, I really believe I can do anything.
Yeah.
It just takes time. So, yeah. Like, for you, do you feel that kind of way even though the stress is there?
My fate and my belief and my hope, I guess, comes from a sense of responsibility.
Okay.
Like, I've spoken about this so much in the past year, almost to the point where it's, like, tattooed inside of me. Like, yeah. It's a sense of responsibility, first of all, being, like, a female choreographer, because there aren't... Let's just say it's imbalanced. Like, I'm not going to say there's not a lot of female choreographers, because there are, but it's very imbalanced. So already right there, I feel like I'm creating visibility for women, like female hip-hop choreographers or female just creatives in the dance industry in general. And then on top of that, I'm a female creative that really uses her voice. And then on top of that, I don't know, I'm a female creative that really uses her voice that is of a Pacific Islander background. And then on top of that, I'm a female creative that uses a voice that has a Pacific Islander background that comes from out west. You know what I mean?
And just keeps adding on.
Like, and so I understand like exactly what this is, origin story. My like path up to this point has been so unique, as just as everyone else's has. And so in whatever I exist as, I'm kind of showing the way for other people that have similar qualities, like whether that is being female or another Pacific Islander person.
Exactly.
Or like when some people who are like, yeah, but I live out here, I'm like, yeah, I know, bro. I did the whole train thing back and forth for years.
That's literally it.
Yeah. And just like putting in the work now, it almost feels like at times you're blindly putting in the work. You don't know what's going to happen, but you just feel like, no, I'm going to do this. Like, just because everyone else is saying like, oh, it's really hard to get here. No, I'm going to come from all the way out west. Or like, yeah. And I guess I've always wanted to see, really, like since a teenager, like I always looked up to the few female hip hop dancers in the industry and in this industry. And then especially overseas, I'm like, there are so many like great up-and-coming female creatives. And I feel like sometimes females don't even consider themselves to be the path of becoming a choreographer, because it is so embedded that like being a dancer is the only thing to be. And I'm not saying everyone's destined to be a choreographer or anything, but I definitely, like, this thing came out of nowhere. Like, I just remember like freestyling as a kid in my friend's like lounge room, and then she walked in on me once and I was like, oh my gosh. And I always think about that moment, because I'm like, no, you were destined to do that. Like, you had it in you as a kid, and now you've had all these things put on you to kind of program you to think a certain way. And so you need to navigate that essence like through all of these things, because that's the only thing that's true, I guess.
Definitely.
Yeah, so that's where my fate comes from, is like that essence of like knowing that I've always loved this. And that's a good reminder as well for when things do get stressful and we do have anxiety. It's like, okay, but we do love this, and like this bigger thing is going to create a bigger space so that we can do this thing even more and even bigger.
Yeah.
Like, so yeah, I'm not gonna say I don't know, I do know, like it's just, I just feel so responsible. And it also helps, like, you know, when you share your work and you receive so much love from other people, like for me, it's not about like having lots of love. It's like the way it touches people in certain ways. And someone will tell me something or send me a message and I'll be like, that's why I did this. Yeah. Like, you're the reason why I did this. I didn't do this for like a tangible thing. Like, I just know the message has reached the right person or people. So that's my job done. Yeah.
Definitely, like legacy, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we can just end it on like legacy, because to me, that's always like, again, I think with what you were just saying and what we were both saying, like with all the stress and all that, like legacy is always in the back of my mind. Like,
yeah.
Really, like, what do I want to leave behind as who I want to be? But yeah, for you, what would you want your legacy to be?
I feel like I want to cultivate a team of like boss ass individuals. I won't say just women, even though that's something I'm really passionate about, only because the confidence in women is something I find is really lacking in. So I want to build things based upon female empowerment, but just empowerment in general to be individual, like the confidence in being individual, the self-belief, the self-love, everything behind that. And I guess, yeah, cultivate this space where that is really encouraged, and that allows people to grow so that they can go out and spread that message further. Almost like, I don't know, when I say it's like a collective of people that are going to run this big thing so that lots of other people can come, understand it, understand themselves, understand and rejig their brains as dancers, because we've had so many things embedded in our minds since full time. And I see it now when I go into teach full time. So I'm like, you know, don't take on everything people say so to heart, because it's not always true for your story. Yeah. So understanding, working from inwards to go outwards, I guess. That's basically the legacy I want to leave behind, is like, not even just me, just the idea and the message. And I feel like it's going to take a group of people to have that same understanding, and we're going to have everyone in and everyone come in, and then everyone's going to go out and just do it. So it's nothing tangible. It's just going to be like, I went to this thing and now I understand. Or like, are you going to this space? Like, we're going to like create something there. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Like.
Dope, dope. I love it. Nah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I feel like I'm really glad like you asked me that question. I don't know, I could just get that off my chest too. Like,
yeah,
I really, yeah, because I have been feeling stressed, but
yeah,
I think this is why I'm gonna love these podcasts.
Yeah,
like,
just
talking. But yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All good.
Woohoo.
Thank you so much for listening. I really, really hope you enjoy this episode. I would actually like to hear how you guys deal with stress and anxiety. So please tag us on InstaStory and let us know what kind of strategies you use to deal with your stress and anxiety. I really want to know, and hopefully we can share this with other people who don't deal with it as well. All right, thank you so much, and I will see you for the next episode.